I want to begin with a comment of Rashi in Parshas Vayechi at the end of Sefer Bereishis on the pasuk Zvulin Lechof Yamin Yishkon, which is in Perek Mem Tes. Rashi says Zvulin Hayezvulin Osek VePrakmatia Umamtzi Mazon L'Shevet Yisachar V'Hem Oskim BaTorah. Hu shamar Moshe, smach zvul betzeisecha, v'yisachar bi'olech. Zvul in yotzi l'pakmatia, v'yisachar oseik b'torah bi'olech. So when it says zvul in betzeisecha, means zvul in going out to earn a living, and yisachar b'olech is the ol shel Torah, as we saw by Yaakov Avinu, ishtam yoshev ohol. So Rashi seems to be, in the blessing that Yaakov Avinu gives to Zvulun, emphasizing a very unique relationship between Yisachar and Zvulun. So I'd like to discuss this relationship, which has always been on my mind, it's always fascinated me, and I never really understood what is the nature of this relationship. How does it work? Is the schar split between the two of them equally? Are they on the same level? You know, it's interesting that both Yaakov Avinu and Moshe Rabbeinu put Zvulun first. Okay, that could be for other reasons, but it also seems to indicate a certain chashivus to Zvulun. And later on I want to share with you, as you'll see in the Maror Makomos page, a fascinating story about Rav Chaim Valojin, about the power of Yisachar. Again, Yisachar meaning conceptually he who supports Torah. But again, the premise in this discussion is going to be that we're talking more than just about supporting Torah. There are many people, Baruch Hashem, who give tzedakah to support yeshivot and kolim, but we're talking about a very intimate one-on-one relationship between a particular Nadvan, someone who gives money, and a particular Ben Torah, and what is the nature of that relationship? And the most fundamental question that I want to address is whether Yisachar is giving up some of his reward in the next world by sharing it with Zvulun. That's an interesting question. And again, we want to ask the question whether these two partners are equal, is one greater than the other? And the last question we want to address is whether or not Zvulun, by giving his parnasa, has to divvy up his income in a 50-50 way. Is this some sort of a partnership agreement? Is it a contractual agreement of 50-50? So we want to begin, having seen the Rashi at the end of Vayechi, with a discussion on the Rashi in Sefer Dvarim. Rashi says the following. This is in Dvarim Lamed Gimel, Pasuk Yud Ches. Rashi says on the Pasuk, Smach Zvulun B'tzeisecha V'yisachar Be'olecha, Zvulun V'yisachar Asu Shutvus. The Rashi is very particular, very meticulous about choosing the word Shutvus. This seems to be a real partnership. Zvul l'chof yamim yishkon v'yotzi l'prakmatia b'sfinos u'mistaker. He has the income from this commerce. V'nosein l'toch piv shal yisachar. He gives food into the mouth of yisachar v'heim yoshvim v'yoskim b'torah. Says Rashi, l'fichach hikdim zvul l'yisachar shetoroso shal yisachar al yidei zvulin hoysa. In other words, Zvulun is responsible for making it possible, for facilitating the Torah of Yisachar. If not for Zvulun, Yisachar would be out there making a living. And therefore Rashi says that the emphasis here, and the first respect is given twice in the Torah to Zvulun, because without Zvulun, Yisachar would not be able to dedicate himself or themselves to Torah. It's as if you would say the foundations of the building are most important. The building is only as strong as its foundations. If I can take a digression for one moment, we have Parshas Parah, And we have Parshas Korban Pesach. Parshas Parah is read at a time in which, when the Korban Pesach was brought, the Jews would prepare for the Korban Pesach by removing a state of Tumah and preparing themselves by being Matara themselves through the Parah Aduma. Which of the two are more important? It's interesting, in Medrash there's a controversy about this, but the Medrash seems to assume that Parshas Parah is more important. It's not my ultimate goal, but rather how do I arrive at that goal? The means to the end is more important than the end. If the end and the ultimate goal cannot be achieved without that means, the preparatory Heksher Mitzvah is the Taras HaParah. The mitzvah itself and the goal of the Torah is Korban Pesach, and yet Parshas Parah will come before Parshas Korban Pesach, not only because of the sequence, you have to first be Matar yourself before you bring the Korban Pesach, but it has an inner state of Chashivus, because without it, it would be impossible to come to the Korban Pesach. Rashi, I'm just using this as an analogy, is adding a certain significance to the role of Zvulun insofar as Yisach could not achieve his goal without Zvulun. Obviously, the goal in this working partnership in the Shutfus that Rashi speaks about is the Torah, but nevertheless, Zvulun comes first because without Zvulun, there is no Torah. But the real point that we want to make out of this Rashi, just getting back on track, is the choice of the word shutfus. The partnership here is not just tzedakah, it's not just being tomech in Torah, being supportive of Torah, but rather shutfus. There's a real shutfus going on, a partnership arrangement in Rashi's language, and perhaps this would be the opening to our whole discussion about what is the relationship between Zvulun and Yisachar. Another point that I want to make to you is that, generally speaking, in 99 out of 100 cases, a Tana is named after his father, Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel. But there's one case that we know of where a Tana is named after his brother, and that is Shimon ben Azariah. The Gemara tells us, actually it's a Mishnah at the beginning of Zvachim, that Shimon is the brother of Azariah. And Rashi explains, why is this? Why do we relate Shimon to his brother rather than to his father? In fact, I don't even know if we know who Shimon's father was, this particular Shimon. And Rashi in Zvachim explains that Hisnu Beinayim, they had some sort of contractual agreement, Sheichelik Lazaria, that Azaria, insofar as he would provide for the needs of his brother Shimon, would be the one who would receive the reward for the Torah study of Shimon. Not all the reward, but he would participate in the reward. And therefore, because he gets the schar for the Talmud of Shimon, and they made such a condition up front, and that's described by the Gemara in Sota Daf Chaf Aleph Amud Aleph, there's no possibility of giving up your reward l'mafreya after the fact. In other words, you do a mitzvah, you study Torah, now you want to give up your reward and share it with someone else. That you can't do, it's too late. But up front, before you actually engage in that mitzvah, then you can set up an agreement in which you share your schar with somebody else. The pasuk says, "In yitain ish kol hon beso bi'ava boz yavuzulo." A person can't give of the hon, meaning the schar that he's already accrued once he's implemented the mitzvah, he's done the Torah study, to someone else. He can't share it with someone else. Yisachar is a shutaf from the get-go, from the start. in the Parnasa of Zvulun. So let's just summarize what we see over here. Rashi indicates that there was an agreement between Shimon and Azariah, which is reflected in the paradigm case of Zvulun and Yisachar. But however, this agreement, this stipulation has to be made in advance, prior to the study of Torah. The arrangement is a bona fide partnership, and Rashi uses the term shutfus to indicate that Zvulun brings in the income, Yisachar in the Torah, they're both bringing in things, and they're splitting them. And this leads to the opinion of Rav Moshe Feinstein that he indicated at the beginning. This is a tshuva of Rav Moshe in Hilchos Talmud Torah in Yoredeya, Chelek Dalid, Simon Lamed Zayin. And basically Rav Moshe expounds on the definition of Yisachar and Zvulun, which is an arrangement that is a full-fledged partnership. And if you read the Tshuva of Moshe, he writes, Barur Shezeu Geder Shel Shutfus Mamish. And Rav Moshe draws a few very radical conclusions based on his definition of Shutfus. His first assumption is that in a partnership agreement, if one partner doesn't live up to his side in the agreement, he's a gazlan. You know, if I agree with you that I'm going to do a certain amount of work and bring in the income based on that work, you will do the other work. If I'm lax about it and I don't fulfill my part of the agreement, I'm really stealing from you, because the total income is going to be reduced. But Rav Moshe goes a lot further than that. He sees this true partnership as totally independent of the mitzvah of tzedakah. And you'll see this on the second line, Ein l'shut v'zu kol kesha l'hilchus tzedakah. Meaning that even though Zvulun is giving half of his income, as we'll soon see, to Yisachar, for the sake of Yisachar's being able to learn Torah, nevertheless that gift does not fulfill Zvulun's personal obligation of tzedakah. In addition to his arrangement with Yisachar, Zvulun is obligated in the midst of tzedakah. Furthermore, because it's not a charity arrangement, but rather a tzedakah arrangement, but rather a full-fledged shutfus, Yisachar remains obligated to give charity from the income which he retains for himself. He's chayv in tzedakah money from whatever money he gets from this partnership. It's not tzedakah. And again, if Rav Moshe hasn't made enough chidush, hasn't indicated enough chidushim, he goes beyond that, and he says that in this partnership, it's a 50-50 relationship, which means that Zvulun has to share 50% of his income with Yisachar, and Yisachar has to share 50% of the schar for his Torah with Zvulun. Let's read this inside. He says, in the paragraph that begins, Yoser Mikach, the unique sheet of Rav Moshe Feinstein in defining this shutfus is L'daito HaKavona B'shutfus Zu Hi Chatzim B'parnosa Zvulun Yelech L'Yisachar V'chatzim Yischar Shal Yisachar Yelech L'Zvulun Mechza U Mechza L'Shutfus Zu. This is a 50-50 partnership. And the underlying assumption, the concept behind this shutfus, is that Yisachar will be able to learn B'shalvas HaNefesh. Zvulun, on the other hand, will supply the Parnasa, and Zvulun therefore becomes a full partner in the Torah of Yisachar. That's pretty way out. And in the Gemara itself, we don't see explicitly that this is a shutfus relationship. There's a lot of chidushim here, Rav Moshe, above and beyond the Gemara. We'll have to see if the poskim generally reflect the shita of Rav Moshe. The Gemara makes a distinction between one who supports Torah and the Torah scholar himself. And the Gemara goes on to say that even prophets, as we'll soon see, could not foresee the reward to those who support Torah. They could They could not foresee the schar to those who studied Torah, the Talmud Chacham himself. They could see and understand and grasp the schar to those who support Torah. But this concept, this distinction in levels between the Torah scholar himself, who's involved and dedicated to Torah study, as opposed to the one who's giving tzedakah to support the Torah, that distinction would not apply to the Yisachar, Zvul, and Shutfis, according to Rav Moshe Feinstein. Because according to Rav Moshe, there's a 50-50 Shutfis. In other words, Zvulin in his level is equivalent to Yisachar in his level. The partnership renders them equals. And that's clear now that the Gemara's distinction between the great reward to those who are Amelim B'Torah, which cannot even be described or comprehended by us, and it's superior to the one who supports Torah, that distinction doesn't hold water in the case of Yisachar, Zvulun contractual partnership, according to Rav Moshe Feinstein. But rather, they are equal. And we cannot say, according to Rav Moshe, that the one who's dedicated to Torah study is superior to the one who supports him to the extent that they have an equal relationship. Now, this chiddush of Rav Moshe, that Zvulun has to share his entire income equally with Yisachar, that's not something that's agreed upon by all the poskim. In fact, the common custom is not like that. But rather, that in the Yisachar-Zvulun relationship, Zvulun will share with Yisachar what's considered a normal standard of living that would facilitate and guarantee that Yisachar can learn Torah Ruyik, meaning, you know, in a calm way, without any daiga, without any worry, but it doesn't mean that Zvulun has to give up 50% of his income. But Rav Moshe, who sees this as an equal partnership, feels that La'alocha Zvulun in this context would have to give and share 50%. Now, of course, as Chaim points out, if Yisachar and Zvulun work this out in a different arrangement, then that's okay. That would be a mechila on the part of Yisachar in this shutfis. So for example, you and I could set up a shutfis in which you'll do the bookkeeping, and you'll do the secretary work, and I'll get the clients, and you'll give me a greater percentage than you'll take for yourself, but that's not stam shutfis. Stam shutfis, if you write a contract between two shutfim, indicates that we're equal and we divvy up the income 50-50. And Rav Moshe says that if you sign such a shutfis relationship of Zvulun and Yisachar, then Zvulun has to share 50% of his income. That's going to be the opinion, the approach of Rav Moshe. However, if you'll take a look at the bottom of your page 1, Chidusha shel Baal Ha'igros Moshe lo Miskabel Bein HaPoskim V'Haminag HaRaveach Hu L'Kayim Shutfis Yisachar V'Zvulun Lo Hakpada Al Chalukah shel Mechza Al Mechza. However, the very yisod that Rav Moshe lays down here, namely that there's a shutfis, a true shutfis, as you'll turn to page 2, that was accepted in many sources that we'll see. The first of which is, I want to look with you at the Ramah in Yoredeya Hilchas Talmud Torah Siman Reish Mem Vav. The Ramah quotes Rabbeinu Yerucham, and he writes the following: a person can precondition with his fellow Jew that the latter will study Torah and he will provide his livelihood and share in his reward. But the language of Rabbeinu Yerucham quoting in the Ramah would certainly seem to indicate that they're talking about a full-fledged partnership. And that's why he says, Im chaveru lahasnos, lahasnos, the word t'nai is used, as we saw already previously in Rashi. So therefore, if we reflect upon the Ramah, we would say the Ramah embraces the fundamental principle of Rav Moshe that there is a partnership. However, he's not committed to the fact that Zvulun has to give 50% of his income. That you don't find in the Ramah. And what I'd like to study with you now is the Gilyon Rebbe Kiveiga there in Shulchan Aruch Yoredeya Siman Reish Mem Vav, who quotes Rav Haigon, You know, we're going back to the period of the Gaonim, and that's very, you know, very, you know, how should I say, that comes with a great deal of authority. And according to this quote, which comes from the Maram al-Shakar in the name of Rav Haigoin, Rav Haigoin was asked a different question, but we'll see what he added in his answer. Rav Haigoin was asked, and this you'll see about 8 lines down from the top of page 2, if a person, just one second, if a person pays someone to read in the Torah, will he receive the spiritual reward of the reading of the Torah? The language of Haigoin is very, he's very outspoken on about this. He says, Ha'im z'chus ha'kriya olal ha'nosein, he says, Ein adam yachol lizkos b'zchuyosav shel chavero. A person cannot take his share in the world to come and hand it over to someone else. It's not sellable. It's not transferable. It's like you get a non-transferable card that allows you to go on another public transportation. Meaning that according to Rav Haigoin, when we talk about reward that's going to be granted to a person in the world to come, that reward cannot be shared with someone else. And Rav Haigoin thinks that anyone who comes to the conclusion that you can sell or transfer rights over your share in the world to come is a fool. Who shota v'karav l'kabel peronios v'kabel schar. If someone believes that by signing away a contract, he can transfer over his schar. For example, he gives the case of someone who fasts tainios, and now he sells the zchuyot that accrued to him because of the fasts that he fasts. If someone actually believes that that transfer is valid, who showed that? He should be punished for even believing such a thing. He says that a person gets schar for his actions. So for example, someone helps someone else financially. So he doesn't purchase with those monies any schar that accrues to the person who does mitzvahs or learns Torah. Haschar sheyesh lo al pu'laso hu. In other words, he gets schar for giving tzedakah and helping support someone else in learning. From the fundamental principle of Haigoin, that the poskim say dvar of divrei kabbalah, it's like hearing something straight from Moshe Me'ar Sinai. So in the case of Yisachar, all Yisachar could give to Zvulun is the opportunity for Zvulun to get schar mitzvah for what Zvulun is doing, but to take part of the schar that he, Yisachar, deserves because of his Torah, and to split it with his buddy Zvulun who's supporting him, that stands in contradiction to the simple meaning of Chazal and to the Psak of the Ramah. The Ramah is saying that Zvulun will get schar on his tvicha, on his support of Yisachar, but he cannot take reward that he earns for the world to come and share it with someone else. So again, basically the difference is the following, if I can summarize it in this way. Whereas Rav Moshe Feinstein sees the Yisachar Zvulun as a partnership agreement, Rav Haigoin sees it as an arrangement of support. Zvulun earns his share in the world to come, not by taking Yisachar's reward, but independently, because he supports Yisachar and he's doing a great mitzvah, that's the schar that accrues to him. Now, the Tzitz Eliezer, Rav Eliezer Waldenberg, works very hard to try to find some way of reconciling Rav Moshe Feinstein's position with that of Rav Haigoin. So you'll see this in a paragraph that starts, B'shut sits Eliezer Chelik Hesvav Omar Astira Zu, and he basically quotes the Imre Bina to try to be the Ashev, the steer between Rav Hai Goen and any other statement like that of Rav Moshe Feinstein that seems to indicate that you can share your schar. And he says the following. He says that maybe we could differentiate between two categories of spiritual reward. One is a compensation for the deed. That's called schar gmul or tashlumin. And then there's another called schar sguli, which means some sort of supernatural effect or impact that results from a mitzvah, from a good deed. He says, with regard to the supernatural effect, which is called the schar sguli, that doesn't lend itself to transaction, to be sold or given away. That's a skula that's inherent in the mitzvah itself. And only the one who is involved in that mitzvah could achieve the schar sguli. However, there's something called tashlumin, compensation. And whenever a worker is compensated, he can decide whatever the heck he wants to do with that compensation. So again, the schar mitzvah, which is called gmul, that is something that can be shared with someone else. Insofar as I earned it, it's the product of my labor, I can share it with someone else. However, there's something called shefa eloki, some sort of divine skula. And with regard to divine skula, you have to be personally involved in the action in order to accrue that skula, that reward. That doesn't lend itself to shutvus. So when Rav Hai Goen is talking about the absurd conclusion that some fool might come to believe that he can make an arrangement and there'll be a transfer of schar, perhaps Rav Hai Goen is referring to schar skuli. But with regard to schar gmuli, there could be a contractual agreement, and perhaps Rav Hai Goen would admit that in the context of the framework of this shutvus, you could share your schar. It's something that's coming to you as compensation. And at the end of this tshuva, the Tzitz Eliezer praises the Imre Bina with regard to his distinction. He says, Dvarim, his words are Nechmadim Mizov Paz Mesukim Midvash Menofes Tzufim. Again, it's a beautiful idea and a distinction between two categories of schar, very profound. But truth be told, in Rav Hai Goen's language, it's very difficult to push this in. Rav Hai Goen says that you cannot take spiritual divine reward and transfer it or share it with anyone else. He doesn't distinguish between this kind of reward and the other kind of reward. Adarabha, if you ask me between these two categories, which categories Rav Hai Goen addressing, I would say it's the schar gmuli. I mean, that's the primary schar. And therefore, I have to submit to you that although Rav Moshe Feinstein is presenting this glorious view of the schar gmuli relationship that's unbelievable, I find it difficult to push that into Rav Hai Goen. And if you look in the Ramah, it's difficult to know where the Ramah stands. What's his opinion? The Ramah seems to be, in a sense, suggesting two different approaches. One of which is Tanai, which sounds like Shutvis. It's much closer to Rav Moshe Feinstein's view. But the other words of the Ramah don't seem to bear this out. Now I know we're going to take a break for questions in just a minute, but before we do that, I just want to point out that the Ramah quotes a tour, and I'm trying to find out where that is on your page. Oh, Vinira. Do you see a paragraph that starts Vinira? And this is where the Ramah actually quotes a tour. he starts his discussion by saying that there's a fundamental primary chiyuv Talmud Torah. It's very extensive chiyuv that's formulated by the Shulchan Aruch. But the Ramah adds, "Umishi efshalo lilmod," if somebody's not capable of fulfilling that obligation, for one of two reasons, he never had the background, or he's too tarred in his parnasa, yaspik lacherim halomdu. Yaspik, he should give support to others who study, which sounds like Yisachar Zvulun, but at this point all he's doing is giving a contribution to others. There's no partnership. The Ramah quotes the tour, v'teichashiv lo ki'ilu lomeid bi'atzmo. That's amazing, because that seems to reflect the approach that we said in the name of Moshe Feinstein, and it's a quote of from the tour. And then the Ramah adds, in the name of Rabbi Yerucham, one of the Rishonim, she'yochol adam lahasnos al chalukas haschar im mishalomei Torah. And perhaps we could suggest that the Ramah is really quoting two different opinions. His first formulation is the opinion of Rav Haigoin, that simply, if one can't learn, the best we can ask of him, the best he can achieve, is the mitzvah of tzedaka, lahasnik lacherim alomdu. But insofar as the Ramah quotes the Torah and Rabbi Yerucham, that it's considered as if he's learning himself, which again might be a hyperbole. I don't know if it's agadah or it's halacha. The Ramah is not known for hyperboles. And then he writes, "Sheyachol adam lahasnos al chalukas haschar in mishalom Torah." That definitely doesn't sound like Rav Haigoin. This partnership, if it's constructed in a contractual way, will involve a yisachar splitting his schar, chalukas haschar, with Zvulun. So again, just to summarize, it seems like there are two approaches to how to understand giving support to Yisachar so that he can learn, and these two approaches seem to find some sort of an expression in the Ramah. Okay. Now David is asking the following question: isn't there a difference if it's sold before the mitzvah versus the mitzvah once the mitzvah is done? Yeah, that we discussed. That once the mitzvah is done, for sure it's impossible to give and transfer ownership of the mitzvah. The only possibility of a Yisachar Zvulun relationship, the way it's formulated by the Ramah, in the name of Rabbi Yerucham, in which they split the schar, that has to be done up front before the Limud Torah. And Chaim is asking, isn't there a problem of Machted Dover Shalom Boliolom, no matter what the arrangement is? You're absolutely right, Chaim. How can I be Machted Schar? And that's where Haigoin is yelling and screaming. First of all, Schar is not something tangible. You can't sell something that's untangible. I can't sell the air in the room, even if I own the room. And secondly, it's a Dover Shalom Boliolom. The Schar hasn't come into existence yet. But the answer is that when it comes to an Elon Leperosov, which means that I can sell you or partner with you on an object as far as its produce is concerned, so here the partnership creates almost one physical being in which you partner with my Maisa Yadayim. So we can create a schirus or a shutfus in which the work that I'm going to do and the income that I'm going to accrue will be split equally, and that becomes a kinyan ilon leperosov, where even though ain't the machne dover shalom baliolam, but I could machne an ilon leperosov, and this would be an ilon leperosov in a metaphysical sense. The shutfis between Yisachar and Zvulun makes them into guf echad, so that the study of Yisachar as his pu'ula and the pragmatia of Zvulun as his pu'ula is accrued to both as one person.
But in any event, the kinyan is not on the schar. The kinyan, rather, is on the pu'ula for the schar. And the pu'ula is what you call ma'isi adam. So I could sell you my yad le peirosov. Okay. What we want to study now is the Pele Yoetz. Now, I have to find it for you on the sheet. Just 1 second. The Pele Yoetz and the Hafla. Oh, this you'll see at the end of a paragraph that starts with Divrei HaIgros Moshe. And the opening line in this paragraph indicates that within the context of Rav Moshe's understanding of this contractual partnership arrangement, Yisachar is actually giving up half the schar of his Talmud Torah. And in fact, this could be supported by the words of the Pele Yoetz. Because the Pele Yoetz says something very surprising. He was one of the great Bali Musar, and he writes that although from the perspective of Zvulun, this is very much recommended. You know, he lauds Zvulun for entering into this Heskeim with Yisachar. He says, but from Yisachar's perspective, that's not a very good idea. Not something that we want to recommend. Yisachar is not doing a good thing. If he can find other means of support without entering into this arrangement, Zvulun, he'd be well advised to do so. That's a gnai. There's a gnai as far as Yisachar is concerned. From Zvulun, it's a one-sided deal. It's a good deal for Zvulun, but not for Yisachar. He says, what is basically Yisachar doing over here? What he's doing is he's making a trade-off, giving up Schar Nitzchi, his infinite reward of Olam Haba, for the sake of Parnasa in this world. Again, the answer to the Pele Yoetz is that, you know, Yisachar has no choice. Now, if he doesn't enter into this agreement, he might as well go out to work himself. He doesn't have the wherewithal to support himself and sit and learn. But be that as it may, you know, mitoch lava tashmei hain in this case, from the fact that the Pele Yoetz discourages Yisachar from entering into this relationship because he's giving up his schar and olam haba, you see that this is a contractual binding partnership relationship like Rav Moshe Feinstein. So again, although Rav Haigoin at the simple level Pshuto Shel Mikra does not seem to support Rav Moshe's approach, there's no way, no how that a person could sell his schar and olam haba, don't even dream about it, it's shtuyot. But nevertheless, the Pele Yoetz, again, I wouldn't call him a Rishon by any stretch, but he seems to reflect this opinion of Rav Moshe Feinstein. And it goes even further than that. Because there's a sefer called Keser Rosh, which quotes a lot of stories in the name of Rav Chaim Volozhin. And what you'll find in the name of Rav Chaim Volozhin, as far as the shutvus of Yisachar and Zvulun, She'ein l'lomei Torah li'os eino tzara mi'litein chelko mi'talmud li'acher. He says that this is a good thing. A person who wants to hoard for himself all the schar of a mitzvah, that's not a good thing. On the contrary, it's laudable when a person wants to give up his schar. He doesn't have an ayin ra to be stingy and take it for himself. He has an ayin tova, and as a result of his ayin tova, he is sharing his schar with someone else. So let's just summarize what we said in the last couple of minutes. We saw that the Pele Yoetz frowns upon the arrangement of Yisachar and Zvulun from the perspective of Yisachar. He's giving away part of his eternal reward. That's not a good thing. The Ramah endorses Yisachar and Zvulun in its contractual form. Rav Chaim Volozhin writes that a person should not act selfishly with his Torah study, but should be willing to share it with others. And this is quoted in the Sefer Keser Rosh. And the next thing we want to mention here is Rav Yonasan Ivershitz. And then Rav Issa Zalman Meltzer. Rav Yonasan Eibeshitz was found crying, as you'll see here. And why was he crying? Because he gave a very enormous sum of money. He single-handedly supported a Pidyon Shvuyim to release someone from captivity. And immediately afterwards, the money was returned to him. Every last penny. Why was he crying? Because he felt that Hashem was sending a message to him by returning the money and telling him that this mitzvah was not done properly. It wasn't desirable in the eyes of Hashem. And the reason is because he personally, single-handedly supported this endeavor of Pinyan Shvuyim. He was unwilling to share this mitzvah with others. He was an Ayin Ra instead of an Ayin Tova. It's fascinating that an Ayin Ra could be a Midah that reflects itself in how much are you willing to share of a Schar Mitzvah. But again, over and over again, we're seeing from so many different sources that indeed you can share, and you might even be recommended to share your Schar in a Mitzvah. It's all against Rav Hai Gaon. The Chazon Ish that I wanted to point out to you says that Af Erech Haskem Shel Yisach Hezvul Kimane. Okay, there's a little bit of a typo here. I apologize for that. But what it should say is that a Yisachar Zvulin relationship was encouraged by the Chazon Ish. The Chazon Ish apparently was the one who sat down and wrote out the agreement. But Mrs. Zalman Meltzer writes about his Evan Ozel, which is a major compendium, many, many volumes, that he made an agreement with the donor to quote-unquote share the spiritual reward of the book. So we're seeing that although Yisachar is relinquishing half of his reward for the hours that he put in, but the answer is that he wouldn't have been able to put in those hours if not for the support of Zvulun. So, although, you know, just to summarize, although we see a controversy, opinions are divided, whether part of Zvulun's reward is given to Zvulun, and in the case of the Peleoids, we saw clearly, nevertheless, everybody agrees to one thing. This shutfus means that there's an absolute responsibility, a yoke of Torah placed on the shoulders of Yisachar. And you'll see the Ayelus HaShachem V'Zos HaBrach, according to the Chafetz Chaim, writes that Yisachar, who's being supported by Zvul, and if he doesn't immerse himself totally in the study of Torah, he's effectively stealing, he violates Gzela from Zvul. Now, what I wanted to touch on with you is, just one second, let me just get my bearings here for a second. The Arachayim HaKadosh, which you'll see quoted on the bottom of your page 2, in Shmos Perek Lamed, and we see something similar in the Baal HaFla, they maintain that although Zvulun gets half the schar of Yisachar, Yisachar doesn't lose anything, not one iota from his schar. The schar for his limud, in the case of Yisachar, is paid by no agent whatsoever, just simply directly from the yad of the King of Kings. By setting up this arrangement with Zvulun, he's not forfeiting anything of his schar. They call echad mekabel schar mushla, and the mashal here is someone who lights a candle, and somebody else takes his candle and gets madlik miner l'ner. There's no deficiency or no detraction from the aur of this ner, and therefore someone who is responsible for supporting Torah and a Talmud Chacham doesn't in any way give up, forfeit his schar. So Rabbosai, we really have a major controversy here as to whether or not Yisachar, within the context of this framework, is giving up his schar. And if you hold that he is giving up his schar, then you could ask, well, is that a good thing or a bad thing? And that itself is a machlok, because the Pelioids will discourage him. But we saw in other sources that, on the contrary, he should be encouraged, so that he shouldn't be a tsar ayin. And that's what we saw in the name of Reb Chaim Volozhin. And certainly the Chazon Ish, by encouraging this relationship, indicates that this shouldn't be a bad thing. And to boot, we have another school of thought, that's the Haflah and the Or Chaim HaKadosh, who would maintain that Yisachar is not giving up any of his schar at all. So it's either that he's giving up half his schar, but that's a good thing because of Ayin Tova, or maybe it's a bad thing because how can he give up his schar and Olam Haba? But then again, if he has no choice, that's what he has to do. And it's also possible that he's not giving up anything at all from his schar in Olam Haba. Now, we mentioned the fact that Yisachar now has an absolute chiyuv to dedicate himself to learning, otherwise he violates gezeila. What I want to discuss with you now is who comes first, Zvulun or Yisachar. So take a look at page 3, Mimen Ashnayim Choshuv B'Yoser. So Rashi says, L'fichach hikdim Zvulun Yisachar Terasa Shei Yisachar Idei Zvulun Haisa. It would seem that Zvulun gets more chashivas than Yisachar. And Shimon was called Achi Azaria. It sounds like that his whole chashivas, Shimon, was that he was the brother of Azaria, and yet it was Azaria who supported him, but it wasn't Azaria who was involved in the Torah, it was Shimon who was involved in the Torah. So again, these sources would lead to the conclusion that Zvulun is more chashiv than Yisachar, which is pretty amazing. And here we want to tell over a story that Rav Chaim Yaakov Goldwich, the Rosh Yeshiva of Keren B'Yavne, used to tell. And he said it was a Kabbalah in the name of the Chafetz Chaim regarding Rav Chaim Volozhin, that there was a Nadvan who was so generous that he supported the physical needs of the Yeshiva in Volozhin. Rav Chaim promised him that as a result, as a schar for his support, he, Reb Chaim Volozhin, would immerse himself in the study of Torah. And after this Nadvan passes away, Reb Chaim promised that his Torah would be dedicated for an Aliyas Neshama for this Nadvan, so that the Neshama, the soul, would have an aliyah. And according to this tradition, in the name of the Chafetz Chaim, Reb Chaim Volozhin, after the donor departed from this world, he hurried up to fulfill his vow. He immersed himself in the study of Mishnah, Seder Taras, and he came upon a particular Mishnah, and he was unable to understand the Mishnah. I believe it was a Mishnah in Taras, if I remember the story. And he fell asleep. While he was sleeping, the donor appeared to him in a dream. Again, this was just a short while after he had passed on. And the donor explained the Mishnah in a brilliant way so that Reb Chaim could understand the Mishnah. The difficulty that he had in the Mishnah was completely resolved. And when Reb Chaim woke up, he commented out of shock, "I knew that this generous person would become a scholar in the next world, but I didn't think it would happen so fast." So it's amazing that Zvulun, according to Rashi, and we saw this not only in Rashi, but we saw this in the case of Shimon Achi Azaria, is given, so to speak, a greater identity and importance that supersedes that of Yisachar. And this is the impression that you get from those sources. On the other side, on the flip side, is the Gemara in Brachas on Daf Yud Zayin. There the Gemara clearly indicates that the Talmud Chacham is greater in significance and his status and his importance than the person who supports him. And the Gemara in Brachos is interpreted in the Be'er Moshe, who says the following: Zvulun takes precedence in time, you know, he should be given the first dibs, because the main Kemach Ein Torah. Yisachar, on the other hand, gets precedence in importance. And the Be'er Moshe in Parshas Vezos HaBracha quotes a midrash in Bamidbar Rabbah that Yisachar wore black clothing, Zvulun wore white clothing, and the difference between the two is that when you write a Sefer Torah on cloth and dyo, the black letters are on the white parchment. Without the white parchment, it would be impossible to read the black letters. And although the parchment comes first, sequentially, chronologically, because first you have to have the white parchment first, and then and only then can you write on the parchment. Nevertheless, there's no doubt that the writing and the black ink is of greater importance than the parchment. And that's what this medrash means when it says that Zvulun is white and Yisachar is black, in terms of their clothing, excuse me. The clothing of Yisachar is black. It's like the black osios and the dio that's written onto the Sefer Torah, whereas the clothing of Zvulun is white, reflecting, symbolizing the white parchment of the Sefer Torah. And no doubt that although you have to start with the white parchment before you write the black on with the dio, nevertheless, clearly the dio and the letters in black are much more significant than the background parchment. And therefore, by analogy, it makes sense that although Zvulun comes first, without Zvulun it's not going to be Yisachar. Yisachar can't dedicate himself to Torah without having Zvulun first to support him. But nevertheless, although the sequence is Zvulun first and then Yisachar, but in terms of the Cheshivus, the inner existential importance, the Torah scholar has greater importance, and that we saw from the Gemara in Brachos on Daf Yud Zayin. And therefore, Yisachar represents the black letters, the dio of the Sefer Torah, and his Kedusha is that much greater. Again, all this has to be understood in the light of the story, this tradition of the Chofetz Chaim about Reb Chaim Volozhin. You know, you get the impression that not only will the Zvulins in the next world be studying Torah, but they'll be understanding Torah on the highest level, the deepest level, even though, again, your average Zvulun, as we saw in the sources, is an individual who doesn't have the capability, doesn't have the background to study Torah, but when it comes to the next world, and he is splitting his schar with Yisachar, whatever that means, we gave the two approaches, he is able to comprehend the Torah on the highest level. So I'm going to open up for questions. I just want to say that we should all be zocha to the light of Torah, whether it's Yisachar or Zvulun, and that's what we all hope to do. Okay, if there are any questions, now would be a good time to ask them. So if you like, you can